I'm happy to introduce Brother David as our speaker this evening and ask that you may give him your very careful attention, that you might remember him in your silent prayers. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. It seems like when we get our grandchildren over to our house, they're always saying, "Grandpa, watch." And they'll do a cartwheel, or they'll do something with one of the toys they're playing with that they want to impress Grandpa. So we watch and we enjoy it. The Lord told us to watch. He let us know that there would be signs of things to come in the future. And when those signs come, that we could expect certain events to take place. Some of those events we don't think are going to have a whole lot of impact on our lives. But we don't know the circumstances that lead to certain events in our lives. And I want to read some of the Lord's words here in Luke 21. The 21st chapter of Luke, I'm going to read 25 through 36. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon, and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." He warns us here in this parable not to get overzealous about where we're going to get our next meal, how much we're going to have to eat, or going out to party and getting drunk and not caring about the things in life, just living to be happy. In other places in this scripture it says that it'll be like in the time of Noah, when the people were marrying and getting married and eating and partying, and they didn't know the flood was coming. They really didn't care. They thought Noah was just that crazy old man out there building a ship in the middle of nowhere. But the Lord tells us again, watch. Watch, because these things are going to happen. In Matthew 24, I'm going to read a little bit of that account of it. In the parable of the fig tree, I won't read, that's the same. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, I want to read verses 3 through 12. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This may be one of the places where we say, well, we're not going to have to worry about our love waxing cold because we're the body of Christ and we love each other and we're doing what we think is right. But you know when old Satan gets his foot in the door, he can really step in without you even realizing how close he is. And when we live in a nation that is going to be hated of all other nations, we better take heed, because that's going to mean that Satan's got good power on the world, that he is going to give this nation affliction. He is going to discourage the people. And you know, when you have pestilence and earthquakes and floods and this type of thing, when your economy goes to pot, when you sit and watch your retirement that you worked so many years for dwindle and go away, and it's all because a few companies weren't honest and let it happen, it can get discouraging. It can get to the point where we might actually be offended, and we might kind of start to stab one another in the back. Say, well, I don't know what he has to complain about. He's got it made. A little envy, a little strife, a little tension. And that's right where Satan wants you. How is it possible? How is it possible that he could come into the body of Christ and deceive us that way? That he can actually break us down? I'm going to switch books on you. I'm going to go to 3 Nephi, 5th chapter. This is page 634 in the Book of Mormon. We're going to look at just exactly how Satan can bring this about. Page 634, I'm going to read two verses there, 30 and 31. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath a spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is the father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger, one with another. Behold, this is not my doctrine, to set up the stir up the hearts of men with anger one against another, but this is my doctrine, that such things should be done away. So when we come across a spirit of contention, How are we going to do away with it? Well, for the most part, it is our duty as the body of Christ not to let that contention take personal hold of us, but to recognize it for where it comes from and then to make it a matter of prayer that the Lord will turn those things of Satan away, that he will not let that enter into our personal lives or into the body of Christ. But that's how Satan makes it possible. On verses 40 and 41, well, 41, 42 on the next page, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and whosoever buildeth upon this buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And whoso shall declare more or less than this, and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil and is not built upon my rock, but he buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standeth open to receive such when the floods come and the winds beat upon them." We heard last week, our brother Marvin, I believe it was, spoke about the foundation that we need to build upon. Because if we're not built upon that rock that Christ is the cornerstone of, then we're going to crumble and fall as soon as that storm hits. And how do we prepare that fall? Well, we just take the doctrine that Christ gave to us and change it, because it doesn't fit my life today. Has the body of Christ done that? Not to the extent that we see other churches doing it. Other churches are so far on left field that they're not even in the game anymore. I don't understand how they can even use the name of God and teach the things that they teach, because what they teach is totally against God. And most of them are doing it for money, for the priestcrafts that we're warned about. Don't do those things. Don't do it, because it all gets down to pride. Everybody wants people to look up at them and to say, yeah, this man's telling me what I want to hear. He's telling me that I'm okay. I'm doing it right. I have nothing to fear. But when the Lord bares his arm, they're going to find out they were wrong. They were deceived. That doctrine that they listened to is the doctrine of men and not the doctrine that Christ left for us. And how do we know this? Because Christ gave us these scriptures, and he told us to study them. And when those that were supposed to record the things didn't have it recorded, he got after them and he said, "Didn't I tell you to write it down? Now write it down." He didn't take it lightly, did he? He knew the importance of leaving this record for us. He knew what it would be like for us in the last days if we did not have the true doctrine of Christ to follow. We cannot say it doesn't pertain to us, which I've heard from people in other churches. You quote them scripture and you show them where it is and you make them read it and they say, "It doesn't pertain to me." Well, it's scripture and it's left there for our use, and it does pertain. And whether it's talking about adultery or sins that you don't think are in the Church of Christ, think again, because they are here. they're just as prevalent as Satan can make them. Going to go over to 3 Nephi chapter 7. This will be page 646. Page 646, and I'm going to read 34 through 40. And this commandment the Father, this commandeth the Father, that I should say unto you, at the day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations, and above all the people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lyings and deceits and of mischiefs, all manner of hypocrisy and murders and priestcrafts and whoredoms and of secret abominations. And if they shall do all these things and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. And then will I remember my covenant, which I have made unto my people, O house of Israel, and I will bring my gospel unto them. And I will shew unto them, thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles shall not have power over you, but I will remember my covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and ye shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of my gospel. But if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. And I will not suffer my people who are of the house of Israel to go through among them and tread them down, saith the Father. But if they will not turn unto me and hearken unto my voice, I will suffer them. Yea, I will suffer my people, O house of Israel, that they shall go through among them and shall tread them down. There's a promise from the Lord. It says, if you're not going to do the work that I set for you to do, I'll find somebody that will. And when I do, they're going to tread you down. The house of Israel is the covenant people of the Lord. He's not going to leave them forever in darkness. He's going to bring them forth. And if we're going to help him do that, then he's going to welcome us to help him. But when Satan sneaks in there and we start to be just like the rest of the world, with lyings and deceits and mischiefs and hypocrisy and murders and priestcrafts and whoredoms, secret abominations, when these things start to enter, they have no place in the doctrine of Christ. None whatsoever, and he won't put up with it. He'll take it away from us. So are we responsible enough to do the work of God? I believe we are. Now, Satan doesn't want us to. But I believe that we have what the rest of the world does not. We have the true doctrine of Christ, as close as you can get to it today. But we're promised that if we take care of these things, that he will give us more. That more will come forth. And the Lord will open his arms and welcome us in. The Lord will support us. He will give us everything we need to carry out those things which are in God's plan. After all, that's all that Christ was doing with his life. He said, I bring to you the things which are given to me of the Father. and he is doing the will of the Father. He wasn't doing his own will. In fact, it was hard for him when he was flesh and blood to always follow after the will of God, and he knew that. And he still knows that. He remembers that. But there's something that we have to do today, not tomorrow, but every day of our life. And that's to prepare for this day. Because this day may be the only day we have left. And it's part of wisdom that we make the most of this day. I'm going to go back to Alma, third chapter, page 316. We're told to prepare ourselves. Page 316, verses 46. And I'm going to read through 60 probably. Now behold, I send to you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and if ye have felt to sing this song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? Had you walked keeping yourselves blameless before God? Could you say if you were called to die at this time within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble, that your garments have been cleaned and made white through the blood of Christ, who will come to redeem his people from their sins? Behold, are you stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not, ye are not prepared to meet God. Behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand. And such a one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? I say unto you that such a one is not prepared. And I would that he should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand. And he knoweth not when the time shall come, for such a one is not found guiltless. And again I say unto you, is there one among you that doth make a mock of his brother, or that heapeth upon him persecutions? Woe unto such a one, for he is not prepared, and the time is at hand that he must repent, or he cannot be saved. Yea, even woe unto all ye workers of iniquity, repent, repent, for the Lord God has spoken it. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them, and he saith, repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me, and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand, that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doeth not the work of the righteousness, the same have cause to wail and mourn. You know, in Scripture it tells us that those that found out later what the true meaning of the life of Christ was, said, well, if we had understood and if we had known these things, we wouldn't have crucified him. But they did. And the Lord knew they would, because that was the desire of their heart. By nature, man works against God, because we live flesh and blood, God's a spirit, we live in the earth, and Satan has power over us. God knows what's going to happen, but he also gave us a choice. Who are we going to follow? Are we going to follow after Satan and after the things of the world, or are we going to follow after Christ in the righteousness that he gave to us. We have today to prepare. We have today to choose. We have today to fight contention and to not let it overpower us. I'm going to go to the 17th chapter of Alma, and this is page 441. I'm going to read verses 69 and 70 on page 441. Yea, that all the doings, thy doings, be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. You know, one of the hardest things in life, when you have discouragement, when you're afflicted, when you're in pain, whether it be spiritual pain or pain of the flesh and blood, and you go to bed at night, it's kind of hard sometimes to pray. It's kind of hard to thank the Lord for the things that you have and to ask him to watch over you because you're discouraged. Satan's got his foot on you, and he's holding you down. And even when you try to pray, you lose your train of thought and you drift away. I'm sure we've all been to that point. If we haven't, then we will be. Because Satan's going to get his way one way or the other. And we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to prove to the Lord that we're willing to fight, to have him take control of our life. I know I've been there. I know of other ministers that have had the same thing. You see, I can't even pray anymore. That's where Satan wants us. That's where Satan is just standing there sneering at you and saying, and you thought you were strong because you were part of the body of Christ. Well, look what I did to him. I can do it to you. And his angels rejoice. Satan's angels rejoice at that too. It's not just Satan, but it's all of his little helpers. They put you in those places. And it's because we're flesh and blood that we fall in. I want to talk about a fountain. In the book of Ether, the 5th chapter, page 748. Our kids gave us a fountain, a water fountain, for Christmas. We haven't set it up yet, but we're looking forward to getting that thing going because we like fountains. There's just something about a fountain that has constant energy, constant flow, consistency. Something peaceful about it. But yet something that is not still, it is not quiet, it still flows. All the time a fountain flows. And it can be such a beautiful thing, such a peaceful almost medicinal thing. My dad always liked the sound of running water, and I ended up making a life out of making water run the way I want it to and keeping it clean, making it desirable for those that partake of it. Page 748, verses 28 and 29. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then I will make weak things become strong unto them. In other words, when you lay down at night and you're upset and you're disturbed and you try to pray and it don't happen, the Lord can turn that around and make it something strong in you, because he makes you recognize what's wrong. And he's there for us. And he says, my child, reach out. Take my hand, and I'll lead you. Next verse. Behold, I will shew unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will shew unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of righteousness. That ever-flowing energy, that peaceful, content, constant love that comes as charity, the pure love that Christ had for us, that we should have for each other. He told us to have faith, love, charity, have these things. They're a gift. Use them. Produce good fruit with them. Make them a fountain. Don't let Satan have his way, because he'll dry you up. Satan will take everything in your life that was worthwhile and he'll destroy it. I'm going to go back for my final reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 7 through 9. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, I could make a whole week of sermons on wisdom and how it pertains to our life. Wisdom is not letting contention, letting strife get the best of us. But wisdom is turning to God and saying, I know you can change this. I can't. I'm too weak. I need you to help me change this. We try to teach our kids the things that we feel that are right. You know, there are people in this room that have seen beyond this life. We recently lost Nicholas Denham, and he was one of them that also saw. And he couldn't describe it. The wonderful peace and contentment, the beauty beyond imagination. The Lord told us in both scriptures, the Book of Mormon and in the Bible, that he goes to prepare a mansion for us. I don't need a mansion. But you know what he is there to prepare for us is beyond our imagination. It's beyond anything that we can even conceive in our minds. The joy that we'll feel. But the things that are there for us, that are promised, we want to share with other people. We want to share with the body of Christ. And like Christ said, I don't want to lose anybody. I want everyone to come and partake of the kingdom of God. And so now when I look at my grandchildren, I want to tell them to watch. Be aware of the things that come into your life that are detrimental to the things which God wants for us. Watch for the signs. Right now we're entering into summer and we can see the leaves, the flowers, the bees, the birds making their nests. All the signs are there. Summer's coming. Just as it's promised. It's going to be there again this year. We might not all be there by the end of summer, but summer will come, and then it'll go. And Christ said, I will come. I can't tell you exactly when, but you watch for the signs, and I'll be there. And in the meantime, endure, repent, teach the people about baptism and about the true way of life and the hope and the desires that are there for those things that are promised in the kingdom of God. Watch. Thank you.